Is that the only, the biggest, I guess the main way Sacramento can show that they're ready for MLB and all that? Because we're talking about at the break, like the Mets are only doing 4,000 there, it looks like. There's barely anyone there.
Like, there.
It's not just a Mets thing, but like it's an MLB thing. Was like just sometimes during the week, you're not getting a lot of fans. So I wonder, like, is it going to be different from Sacramento? Like, do they kind of have to be the exception this year? Like, you guys got to show up.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can drop to 1,000 or 2,000. Mm-hmm. Like, but I think what it, I think there's also the component of how many of these are there?
80.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but like, it's kind of an audition right now, no?
Yeah.
Like
you got to show it somewhere.
10 to 14,000 81 times, including Wednesday afternoons, Monday nights. That's probably not realistic.
Against nondescript teams.
If you're a big baseball fan, like,
Marlins A's isn't doing anything on Tuesday.
But I'll try to get to the Padres once. I might not get to the Padres three times, but I'm going to try to get to the Padres once. You got the Mets this weekend. I expect the Mets to be a highly attended game.
If that whole weekend isn't sold out or close to sold out, that would be
I'd be surprised.
Alarming. That'd be alarming.
I'd be surprised.
That'd be alarming. Because that's a big-time team. Weekend, great weather.
Yeah.
Like, even walk-up tickets. Like, right. I expect that to be a little different. You know? So, yeah, Mitch, I'm looking.
You know what I'm bad with school districts, but I know the girls next
breaks.
Week. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so if people are stepping out for their spring break on Friday, they might miss the series. There could be a few things at play.
Randomly, like I said, just randomly, the Royals last night, I just pulled it up. Royals Twins, they did 12,000. You know what I mean? Like, man, I'm saying that in like, that's a 55,000 stadium. Like, people just ain't going to the games, like in that baseball in general, but weekday, early in the season, I guess.
Try to keep it around 10. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're 9 plus, I think you're in good shape.
Yeah. And I was telling Jesse too, watching the game, cuz I watched it before I saw the numbers and everything. It looked like the crowd looked fine.
Right.
Like
9,000 in a 14,000 isn't going to look crazy. Mm. 12,000 in a 55,000 is going to look weird.
Yeah. And to be fair, I wish they tell the whole story.
Okay.
Because isn't it 10,000 seats and being on the lawn makes it 14?
I thought it was
12,000 seats
and 14
and being on the lawn.
Yeah, okay. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Because I don't even think the first night was 14.
No, it was like 12.
Yeah. And it was considered a sellout, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But obviously... Sorry ass Bay Area reporters are going to make that a story all year.
Man, what Marcus Thompson do to you? Wow. Marcus Thompson just minding his own business.
Shout out to my boy Marcus Thompson.
MT. One name that we have not mentioned one time today. Malik Monk. Malik Monk, 6 minutes and 23 seconds left. With a calf.
Don't like that.
This feels concerning.
Yeah.
I know Malik hasn't played well lately. I thought he was good against Charlotte. But overall, you know, the last, you know, stretch of basketball, really since coming back from that injury, I don't think he's been particularly great. So to lose him so early in that one yesterday, you know, and this is coming off the Cleveland game where I don't remember his minutes in the Cleveland game, but I don't think it was a lot. He played 20 minutes. I think pretty well split. Like, I think he played 9 minutes in the second half. Only guy off the bench to play in the second half was Malik. But he's had a tough stretch here. And if the Sacramento Kings are a Warriors win away from clinching a spot in the postseason tournament, you know, struggles or not, like, they're going to need Malik Monk.
Yeah, I agree. And that's not anything I want to see. Like you said, the calf strain, like that always that always bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, to your point, like They need him. They need him. I don't want, they're playing well right now. They won some big time games, but to reach your goal, I find it hard to believe that you can get to the playoffs, closing out the season the way you need to, winning two games, one of them, at least one of them being on the road without Malik Monk. That just seems like a really, and something that's already a tall task, that seems like a really, really tall task for this team. And hopefully it's not too serious. Yeah. Hopefully.
Well, the good news is they're home. Mm-hmm. So we should find out something relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Because guys are there. They're going to ask.
Do you say the Warriors win tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hold out Malik till next Wednesday?
It depends. Was his calf just aggravated yesterday? Was it sore? Was it bothering him? Mm-hmm. Or does it feel like he did something to it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I'm good. I'm good, coach. Yeah, everything's good. Medical. I think he's okay. There's no evidence of any damage. He's fine. Maybe I don't play him tomorrow, mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't have any problem playing him against, who am I missing? The Clippers or the Suns?
Yeah.
If not, though, then yeah, I probably like, hey, let's see what this thing can do with a week of rest. Mm. But I do, you know, if the Suns beat the Warriors tomorrow, though, or tonight, excuse me, I don't know why I think it's tomorrow. I'm thinking about that Dallas Lakers game. I think I'm not leaving it in the hands of the Phoenix Suns. Mm. Like we got to beat Denver. We beat Denver. We earn our spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Golden State wins tonight and Sacramento's going into the Denver game with their feet up. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's if Phoenix wins tomorrow and things are still tonight. I'm sorry. If Phoenix wins tonight and things are still open, Sacramento's like, "Hey, let's go do it ourselves."
Yeah.
Let's go get this spot.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, and once again, we don't know the extent of what Malik is feeling with that, but I'm just cautious of it because I believe they do need him, even though he hasn't been playing the greatest as of late. I think they need him to get into the playoffs, just like they did last year. They needed him to get into the playoffs. I don't think anything is any different this year.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I was hoping. You know, I was hoping if things went the King's way last night, obviously this was early, that he'd be able to find himself, you know, find his touch, find his groove, find his stretch. You know, because I do feel, while I think the Kings will play very hard, and I think Doug will have a great interest in them winning games and continuing, you know, to play well. You got three games. You have the, you know, you win one or two more. You're taking a really solid April record into that postseason game. And as we've established with the Sacramento Kings team, it does not matter. You know, let's go with the hypothetical. You're hosting Dallas a week from tomorrow. Mm-hmm. A week from tomorrow, we're out at the Golden One Center watching the Sacramento Kings play the Dallas Mavericks. What they did against Detroit doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What they did against Cleveland doesn't matter. We can't pull anything from that. If they beat Denver, it doesn't matter. You might feel good about the way that they're playing,
right?
But you know, it's like Kamara was saying, we've fallen for the banana and the tailpipe too many times. Mm-hmm. We're not falling for it this time. The chatty house, that's it. Amen to what Kamara's talking about. Hey, all right, no one's falling for this again. It is a game we are judging in an individual moment. But if you're Doug, if you're that crew, and you're playing well going into that game, you might be entering that night at the Golden One Center with a different level of confidence, especially if you're able to grab a couple of these at home.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%, man. And
and you'd be, I mean, you, God, man, we really lowered the bar. But to finish, you know, at least .500.
Mm.
you know, to be 41-41, to you'd
I
have
think
to
it
get
matters to like add winning seasons, like
sure, I mean, yeah, because there aren't very many of them in this city,
right? Like that means something, I think.
No, I'm with you. Like there just aren't very many in this city.
Yeah. I'm with both of you guys on that one, and you know. Is there a thought? I saw something on.
I keep thinking about what you said earlier. What was that? That Michael Malone, or maybe Matt said it, is in Sacramento.
Yeah.
When he was fired, yeah. And I'm just picturing the wrestling angle of Michael Malone sitting next to Vivek Ranadive at the game tomorrow, just between Vivek and Anjali.
That would be.
It'd be the greatest scene in the history of professional sports.
I think that would be like the one of the crazier moments on King's Twitter ever. Maybe
absolutely.
The craziest.
That would be insane.
You thought DeMar got a pop when he walked out for the California Classic? Oh, let Michael Malone walk out and take his seat next to Vivek Ranadive.
Do it mid-game, too, like during the middle of the first quarter.
Put his arm around him. Do the, what is this called? The Shaka thing. Do that for the picture, for the camera. Put him on the big screen. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome former Sacramento Kings head coach, Michael Malone.
I haven't had, like, I think somebody said, look, give him theme music. Let him walk out from the tunnel.
They not like us?
Sure. Sure. That would be trippy.
Kings are down 10. Then you hit the Ultimate Warriors music. Michael Malone coming down the tunnel.
That's Michael Malone with that black Air Force energy as he comes out to sit next to Vivek Ranadive.
Sounds like Marv Albert doing a Marv
Jones impersonation. Yeah,
Marv is. Oh, wait a minute. That's Michael Malone.
Now do Marv doing Mark Jones.
Oh, wait a minute. That's Michael Malone. Coming
See,
to sit
Marv,
with
nah.
Vivek Ranadive, he's got black Air Force energy.
His impressions all have like someone.
They all kind of run together somehow.
Like there's sometimes some Shaq mixed in.
Yeah,
like,
the Marv
like, oh,
Albert
Shaq's there
one.
Somewhere. Like Marv,
I think,
that Mark
I think,
Jones one, that was Marv at the end there.
I think the Marv Albert one is the only one that doesn't have like some Doc Rivers like sound in it.
I just remembered. We talked like, no. For real, for people who don't know, like, Drapes is my boy. Like, that's my boy, Drapes. So, it's funny. He had a great call yesterday, especially, like, DeMar hit one. And he said, oh, don't hurt him. Don't hurt him, Zach, or something like that. And off of one of them, he goes, oh, Zach LaVine, Harlem, stand up. Or something like that. I said, Harlem.
What?
He said Harlem in the house.
Zach LaVine's not.
They were in Detroit.
Hold on. Did I miss something?
It was one of his threes, man. He said something about.
No. Zach LaVine is from Renton, Washington.
He shot that from Brooklyn and hit the Hollywood Shuffle.
Oh man! So I might have missed that, but I caught this one, and that was crazy.
I missed that one. Hold on, we gotta go to break, but I think I missed that one.
That was crazy. It was announcers
what?
Gone wild yesterday.
What?
Jason Jones next here on ESPN 1320.
Takara is famous from America's Next.
Nah, that is a commercial only. That is a YouTube exclusive.
Well, I was giving her props.
Oh, well, that's fine.
She got famous from America's Next Top Model.
That's fine. That is
a shout out to my girl Eva Pickford.
YouTube exclusive conversation. As Kenny just continues to name off names that you might not be familiar with, and that's okay.
These are models.
That's sure. Sure.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
Eva is a model. Don't do
the Sacramento Kings are signing guard Terrence Davis to a deal. Sources tell ESPN.
Hey, TD!
Let's go, baby!
TD!
Let's go, baby!
I like that.
Vibes are up.
Hold on, man. We still got the sound up here.
You should.
sensational.
Yeah. I like that.
All right, TD.
Now, okay. All right. No, all right.
Okay, I think I know where you're going.
Are you, don't make it serious.
No, I think I know where you're going.
It could. Does it worry you a little bit?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, from
like Malik. Yeah.
Well, how healthy is Terrence?
Terrence just had 50 the other night.
Oh, Terrence is good. He's back.
Yeah, he's been going crazy.
He's back.
Malik insurance, maybe. Not like, oh, we think he's out, but just in case.
Well, like I want to point out, they're here. They're home.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3:21. If MRIs have been done, they've been done. I don't know. You're right. This is a bit panicky. But okay.
TD had last Instagram post I saw on March 24th. He had 44 points, 12 3-pointers.
Shout out TD. He still rock with us on social media.
Yeah, man.
He didn't De'Aaron us where he got tired of seeing that stuff. He didn't do that to us. He's still there on the stories, sending fire emojis.
That's my boy TD. All right, I'm with that, man. It'd be even better if Malik is all good. Now we have them both back. Let's go.
Just get Beam Team 1 back together. Why not? Mm. One last run.
Where's Chemezi?
Metu, where you at?
Yeah. We'll see. I'll keep the phone in hand to see if that King's medical update comes through. I'm happy TD is back, but I'm following this Malik thing pretty closely.
Yeah.
Let's bring in our man Jason Jones from The Athletic. Oh, that's a good hat right there.
Man.
That's a good hat right there.
I hadn't broke it out yet. Y'all was like, he don't be wearing no different hat.
About to say that's
Dodger one. So I was like, let me go ahead and.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's probably the best hat you've ever worn on this show.
Well, tops any of the stuff you usually wear.
What exactly? Nice. Is it a Nike hat or is it just
a... Yeah, it's a Nike hat. Yeah,
okay.
Nike.
Yeah. For those not watching, it says Bo Knows, which I'm a mark for every time.
He ain't gonna wear the hat of a third-place team today, so, you know, gotta do what you gotta do. Not gonna wear the hat of a third place team. You know what I mean? So
you might want to chill with your talk. You know, considering you root for about 15 teams.
I root for one team.
King made a big push to clinch ninth, and you feeling good, so you want to talk trash?
All right, Jason. That's not fair.
Hey, come on.
It ain't clinch ninth. It was 10th, and they need the Warriors to win tonight for them to clinch 10th.
They made a big push now that it don't matter.
Well, hell, it
still matters to me, damn it.
Yeah.
Still real to me.
If it wasn't for KD getting hurt and Anthony Davis refusing to tank, you know, they might be sitting there talking about draft picks right now.
Okay, I don't like your attitude.
Who's guys?
Normally,
who brought him to
the
party?
Normally, I'm on your side.
Who brought this guy to the party?
He started it. I was chilling. He started it. You know, it wasn't the easiest day to be a Dodger fan yesterday. Yeah, I'm trying to be nice, and he just came out swinging.
Well, Shohei hit a home run, so everybody should be happy, right?
So I'm sorry I lashed out. That was my pain. I lashed out. I'm sorry.
We are rooting for the Lakers tomorrow. The Lakers in Dallas tomorrow. You talk about clinching the night seed. Well, that could
work.
Go a long way.
Do work.
So we were wondering if anyone was going to play because we saw LeBron's going. Austin Reeves, Luka, they're all going tonight against OKC.
Well, I think the Lakers got to go 2-2 to clinch 3.
Okay.
So, I mean, you got to get – maybe they're figuring, hey, we can get, you know, this one. You can get Dallas. Because, I mean, Luka's playing in Dallas. So, I mean
– oh, yeah.
Luka might go for 65 tomorrow.
That's what I said. Those guys are playing today because they know we ain't getting no shots tomorrow. So, let's just – you know, let's play a regular
Luka,
game today.
Luka going Kobe last game tomorrow in Dallas.
They're going to ask, can Nico sit like courtside?
Oh, Nico going to have like a suit you notice on. He's not going to have like a dark blue suit on. He's going to have something very bright and noticeable to make sure the cameras catch him.
He said, I ain't no punk.
Nico, if I was Nico, I wouldn't even watch the game. I wouldn't even come in the building that tomorrow.
He'd be like, I'm here. I ain't no punk. I'm here. What? I traded him. What?
Me. I mean, I'm just saying.
That's this, how
I
mean, doing.
It's going to be weird when the game starts and the fans are all cheering for the Lakers. Poor AD. AD did nothing wrong, and they're going to be cheering for Luka.
Yeah, I do wonder. Well, it's like we talk about a lot with Twitter and then actually being in the Golden 1 Center. But I wonder what that environment is going to be like as far as, like Jason just talked about, people rooting. Like, I bet there's going to be a lot of people who are Mavs fans, MFFL, who want Luka to come in to that arena and destroy the Mavs tomorrow night.
They're hoping that Luka comes in there and gets like 75 and they fire like Nico like that night or something. There's a lot of people who don't like Nico down in Dallas beyond the Luka trade. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But, hey, you know, people getting fired left and right in the NBA, who knows what will happen tomorrow.
The thing that's crazy about it, it's not like Nico went rogue. It's not like Dallas didn't know what he was doing.
That doesn't matter. Since when did fandom have to be rational and make sense?
That's true.
It doesn't matter that someone had to say this was okay. It doesn't matter that maybe ownership was like, we don't want to pay Luka. It doesn't matter. This is like, you know what? Someone's got to be the public face of it, and it's Nico. You know, Jay Kidd ain't standing up there taking that hit.
No. Yeah.
You kind of alluded to it. Your boy.
You
covered him. Michael Malone fired today.
Yeah, I need to reach out and see what's going on. Not that he's going to tell me anything, but, you know, man, that's just four games left in the season?
That's crazy.
That is insane.
Denver was like, y'all thought what Memphis did was wild. Watch this.
My favorite part is always the internet reaction. And someone said, okay, thanks a lot, Denver. Jokic will be a Laker in 2 years. Thanks a lot for this.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Trade demand coming. LeBron will retire, and then Luka will be like, get my homie out here.
Jokic will be at home with his horses in 2 years.
After the Lakers got Luka, you can't tell Laker fans nothing. They're like, why can't we get Jokic?
I feel like the Lakers could be 1-81 and you couldn't tell them anything.
hey, chill.
Okay, my bad. Okay, all right. Yeah, that's a receipt.
Y'all act like y'all ain't got some crazy fans everywhere. Y'all chill now. Chill.
Somebody, I think it was Eddie Johnson, I saw a tweet, and former NBA player Eddie Johnson, who talked about, there's no way this move goes down without them running it past Jokic. You think that's accurate?
I think someone said something to him.
I don't.
I mean, it may not have been like we're clearing it with you, but they could. I think someone let him know that he didn't get a random text, but it's kind of like with the De'Aaron and Mike Brown thing. People were saying, well, did De'Aaron know? Did he okay? You know, I think it can be overstated how much a player can have on that. Because I don't think Joker is like crazy. I don't think he would be like, yeah, fire the coach today. Like, am I completely shocked? I mean, he'd been there 10 years. You know, they weren't going to be probably a top three team. They've been struggling lately. But, yeah, you don't fire Michael Malone. He won a championship less than two years ago. But I guess maybe management was like, he ain't going to see Darvin and D'Angelo in the first round. We might be in trouble.
Man, the streak of shots at Darvin Ham that Jason has had on this show is impressive.
What is?
I'm just saying, maybe they were like, shoot, if we draw the Lakers this time, we actually got to like think. No, let's not do this. Let's go ahead and end it now.
Every Tuesday, Darvin Ham just minding his own business. And all of a sudden, Jason Jones comes out like Seth Rollins on the original heel turn.
Not bothering.
I don't think I said anything last week.
Not bothering anybody. Just sitting there with his hands in his pocket. Not bothering anyone.
Well, that's how he coached. That's how he coached.
My point was that it was going to be a rough road in the postseason because you didn't have that tailor-made, You couldn't bank on the other team's point guard scoring 0 points in a playoff game.
You think Michael Malone is a good coach?
I do. I don't think his style is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how he can rub people the wrong way. I like it personally because I'm like, if you're winning, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I could see how he could, you know, rub people the wrong way, so to speak. You know, I know folks in L.A. don't like him. They're just like, dude, get over it. You beat us. Shut up. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, I think he's a good coach. I mean, you know, unless we're going to start saying guys who want, you know, I forgot what his record is overall in Denver. But you look at what he got to. You know, he got there in that post George Karl, post Brian Shaw era. You know, they had a team with him, with Jokic and Nurkic together. You know, it wasn't exactly the best constructed team. You know, to get them to where they eventually became a championship caliber team, I think you got to give him a lot of credit. So I think Michael will be fine. Michael will bounce back somewhere. I mean, you know, if Greg Popovich decides to retire, you know, there's going to be other openings if he wants to coach. Didn't he just sign an extension not that long ago?
Maybe a year or two ago, because I remember
that. After the title?
Yeah.
Well, we know extensions don't mean nothing with coaches, you know. They don't mean nothing.
Not a damn
thing. Mike Brown is well aware of.
Yeah, the Kings spent years playing coaches who weren't working for them, so hey, it's just numbers on a piece of paper. They got to pay the guy who won't work for him anymore.
What'd they give Mike? $30 million to coach 18 games? Yeah. Or 31 games?
Yeah.
Congratulations, man. I'm proud of Mike Brown for that, man. That's the American dream.
He's chilling. Big chilling.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're upset, but you're like, I get over it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's payday. I'm fine.
Yeah. Just first.
This is better than Bobby Bonilla day.
Month, I mean, whatever. Man,
in today's economy, I'm just fine.
Yeah, he's like, shoot, go ahead, let's run this thing back. He ain't doing no TV. He chilling.
Mm-mm.
What do you, I mean, nobody really knows, but, you know, you've had a little more time to maybe read some things. Like, why would you fire him now? Even if you thought this was the last dance, so to speak, like, you're four games away from the postseason. Go through the postseason, see what happens.
Yeah, I guess they say things I've seen is partly was they've struggled lately. You know, they lost four in a row. I think there's the discussion about we were probably going to do this anyway. Might as well get it out the way, I guess. But remember, the GM is gone too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was Kevin O'Connor said that they didn't get along. I'm like, well, this makes no sense. You fire them both then, mm-hmm. I guess, if that's the case. But I mean, I don't think Denver's been healthy. I mean, I saw a game they played nationally. They might have had their starting lineup. I forgot. It was a small number of games. I mean, Jamal Murray is only Jamal Murray against D'Angelo Russell. Mm-hmm. Then other games, we don't know what you're going to get from him, and he's been hurt. Aaron Gordon missed time. Michael Porter Michael Porter is Kevin Durant when he sees, you know, some teams. Other times he's just Michael Porter. Mm-hmm. And he's making a nice chunk of change for a guy who's not close to being an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, one thing I did see, they were saying that pretty much Malone was like, we need to win now. And kind of the front office philosophy, let's bring along these young guys now. Mm-hmm. So you've got kind of that mismatched timeline. Like, are you going to, you know, you're trying to bring, you know, if you look at the last couple of years, all their core role guys who you could have paid are gone. You know, KCP's gone. Bruce Brown was big for them. He's gone. They haven't had depth really for 2 years. Mm. So I can see how that's a philosophy thing, you know, play these. And coaches get fired for either playing or not playing young guys all the time. It's either you play them, you get fired. You don't play them because if you play them, you're going to lose a bunch of games, you get fired. Unless you're in Philadelphia back in the day. Or you don't play them and you get fired for not playing the young guys.
There any similarities you think between Michael Malone, Mike Brown, and Taylor Jenkins? I feel like they're all pretty stern, the right word, head coaches. Like they could be tough on their players publicly.
I think that's true, and I think probably when it comes to dealing, you look at all three cases, you could see whether there's probably a major philosophical difference between the people upstairs and the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And also, given they had gotten their money, why would they not back down? Because I think you look at it, a lot of times when these things happen, especially during the season, you know who the replacement is on the bench already. Like, anybody in Sacramento who didn't think it was going to be Doug Christie is lying to themselves on purpose. Like, I think everyone knew that that would be the guy if Mike was gone. The fact that young Adelman's getting the correct chance now is not a shock, you know, because maybe you think his name might come up in the next cycle. So let's try to, you know, look, you know, keep, if that's the guy you want to keep, you get rid of Malone now and maybe give yourself a head up on that. You know, the Memphis one is just weird because they well, not really, because when the front office hires your entire coaching staff, you're probably going to get fired. That just is what it is. You know, Taylor was on borrowed time the moment they made him fire all his assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And any coach in the NBA will tell you that, you know, there's always going to be input between the front office and the coach about their staff. But when they start telling you that guy, that woman, that man, that is only going to be on your staff, just count your days. Because usually when they do that, one of those people they handpicked is someone – they want. I mean, shoot, even with Vogel back in the day, the Lakers tried it. They just let J. Kidd go before they fired Frank. So teams do it all the time.
I was thinking about this, and this could be like a real, real reach, but do you think it's possible that, like you said, they wanted Mike Malone gone regardless, ownership, whoever's making that decision, and they wanted to get him out of there just in case they made a run?
Yeah.
Like if they were done mm-hmm. with him, mm-hmm. they're like, hey, let's not take any chances with him getting to the conference finals or something like that, or even the NBA finals. Let's move yeah, on that, right now.
Yeah, I think that's – I know my guy Tony Jones, he spends a lot of time in Denver. He said he's surprised by the timing but not the decision. Like if you've been around, you're not completely shocked. You're more surprised by the timing of it. Like you said – well, if they go on a crazy run, get to the finals. When you've got Jokic, that's mm-hmm. possible. He could be the best player in a series 3-4 times easily. And then all of a sudden it's like, what do we do next? We don't like this coach. We want to get rid of him for whatever reason.
I'm of the opinion you still could have fired him.
But a lot of people, what's stopping you?
A
lot of folks don't like backlash.
No, sure.
I mean, you know, we live in a...
Well, I don't think this move helped.
I don't think this helped. But then again, management, especially ownership, makes dumbass decisions all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're like, what the hell? And I've always been a believer, if the guy is not your guy as the coach or a player, you move on. Now, I mean, I have no problem with that. You know, you do what you got to do, but... So it's after 78 games, a bunch of injuries and inconsistency, you realize that now was the time?
Yeah.
Like, okay, you know, yeah, now – and then they always put that dumb statement out, well, it's all about championships still. Is it?
Yeah.
Like, who are you fooling? We mm-hmm. still have a championship standard. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. I mean, championship teams, if you're, you know – if Denver had a thing, went into the luxury tax because they were trying to keep Bruce Brown and not lose him, you know, we can't lose KCP. Let's, you know, that's the all-in mentality. This is, we've got Joker. We've already paid Murray and Porter and Gordon, and we're just going to fill in the holes. And I get it with the new salary cap structure and everything with the first apron and all that. But, you know, but not everyone's going to be Boston. Not everyone's going to pay that big tax bill. And even Boston's going to have a reckoning with that at some point somewhere. They're going to say, you know what? How much more do we want to pay? Boston got a championship, so they can justify it. But say, what if Boston loses in the second round this year?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they will, just hypothetically, they lose in the second round. And they look at that tax bill and they look at how much you're paying Porzingis, you're paying Derek White. You know, I just think you're going to see a lot more times now where you have your one or two stars, or you know, and then you just try to fill in the blanks around that. So I'm expecting even this offseason you're probably going to see some big names traded, just for, you know, because for partly for that reason, and also just the fact that you got to build your teams differently now.
You think Denver was at the end of the road with this group that's, you know, been championship contenders for the past 3-4 years? We had talked about it yesterday on the show where it was just like, probably need to make some moves outside of like the the contract situation, like this group seems to be headed towards an end. Did you feel that way about them?
I think they had their core together. So I don't know if they were at the end. I think it all depends on the money. You know, what are you willing to pay to keep that together? But I mean, I don't have it in front of me kind of what, you know, Gordon's deal looks like. You're probably not going to give Michael Porter Jr. another max deal when his deal is up. Hmm. You know, so I think you're going to have to make some decisions. You know, you might have to have traded a Michael Porter Jr. You might have had to maybe deal a Aaron Gordon. You know, is Jamal Murray going to hold up for a whole season? There's a lot of things to consider, but I think as long as you got Joker, you can't really say the window's closed. Mm-hmm. But they were going to have to reinvent themselves at some point. They were going to have to do something different, you know, because like I said, it's hard to have four very highly paid players in today's NBA, especially when you're drafting where they tend to be drafting in recent years. Mm-hmm. If you're not getting rotation players or finding those gems in the second round, it can be tough.
We speculated part of the reason they let Calvin Booth go was you wanted a general manager to come in here who didn't have an attachment to any of these guys. And if you have to move on from someone like Jamal Murray, you don't have a Calvin Booth who has this emotional attachment to him. You don't have an attachment to Michael Porter Jr. and his story. Obviously, you don't want to move Nikola Jokic, but I did speculate that you have to ask yourself some questions. Like, he's a very, very different individual. He is not a guy who appears to eat, sleep, you know, breathe professional basketball. He has a job, and his job is to be a professional basketball player. He is a very, very good one. Mm-hmm. LeBron James is 40 years old. His identity for his entire life has been being a basketball player. Jokic, in all seriousness, if Jokic retired at the end of the season, really, who would be surprised? Like, if you pay attention and you watch what's happening, like, it would be, yeah, I don't want Jokic to retire, but it wouldn't be like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. It'd be like, well, the writing was on the wall. The man didn't even want to go to the championship parade. The man wanted to go see his horse.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that this is the only coach that Jokic has played for.
And that's crazy. Yeah, that is amazing.
How many guys could go that long in the league and only have one coach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, him and think probably Murray too. Maybe Murray got there during Shaw. Murray's older, right?
No, Murray's younger.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, your top two guys have one coach their whole career.
Mm hmm.
Which is crazy.
And he shouldn't have been fired. I wouldn't have fired him, none of that. But still a hell of a run for Mike Malone, like in this climate today with how coaches go. Like, it was a nice run, man. You mm-hmm. like you said, you coached those guys for as long as you did. You win a championship, you get to a few conference finals. That's a hell of a run by him, man. This is about the time when nowadays this is about the time when teams and coaches separate. So
yeah, lasting 10 years as a coach nowadays is insane. Like, you're just not going to see a lot of that anymore. I don't think. Mm-hmm. I mean, to last, because I mean, just the different iterations of the NBA over 10 years. Like, the way the league was when he got to Denver is nothing how the league is now.
Right.
So, I mean, the last 10 years anywhere in any sport is an accomplishment in itself. And I know there were times where people had speculated that maybe he was about to be on the outs and then they do something really good, then you kept him. And that maybe that is part of it, too, because maybe they wanted to do this before, and they're like, oh, man, he messed around and got to the conference finals. Can't fire him now.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just a prank. Like I said, you know, I, my guy Malone is a very demanding, intense guy. And that's just not for everybody. Maybe the people upstairs just didn't like that anymore. You know, maybe that type of personality works better when you're the number one seed, but when you're the number four seed and you're floundering, nobody wants to hear that the same way.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, to that point, I remember on this show, we were talking about it, maybe not as loudly as we did Coach Bud, but I know I felt if they didn't at least get to the finals the year they won the championship, I thought Mike Malone was going to be gone that year.
He had survived it
right
for a couple of years.
If he's a cat, he used up, you know, 7-8 of those 9 lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but there was times where you said, I don't know, then, you know, like the, you know.
And this was losing in the playoffs. This wasn't not making the playoffs. This was because he was losing.
And like one of the years, I think the year they lost to the Warriors in 22, that was the year they didn't have Jamal Murray.
Mm-hmm.
It was like when they would come up short, there would be legit reasons. You'd be like, well, 22, you don't have Jamal Murray.
Right.
So I think, So what you're saying is that if it wasn't for D'Angelo Russell and my guy, he might have got fired in 2020.
Oh, look, he tried to be nice and say my guy. That's good. We know who your guy is.
He was on his way out the door, and then, you know, he got a stimulus package.
Oh, man.
Darvin Ham.
And then we started talking crazy to the Lakers.
Really,
and
like really
I said, and I know
up.
Malone. I'm like, I told him, I'm like, you got to stall my city out, Mike. You got to stall us out. I mean, he was on LA's head. And then, you know, they got a coach who could, you know, draw something up. And then they started, you know. But I just think, you know, 10 years, it's probably, it might have just been time.
I feel like you really got to entertain trading Jamal Murray.
I think that's not a crazy idea. I mean, given his salary, given the injury history, he might be your most tradable asset, mm-hmm. you know. You know, I mean, outside of obviously Joker, but you look at, you know, maybe there's a team out there that thinks he's a type of player who puts them over the top, you know, maybe there's a team where he fits just right. And instead of Jamal Murray being your second best player, he's your third best player. And maybe that makes you a championship team.
I realize, like, I'm kind of a hater with Jamal Murray. I don't know why. Like, it's not like we talk about his injury history. It's not like he's playing Joel Embiid level numbers of games. Like, he's still playing 50-60 games every year. Mm-hmm. It just feels like we're always, well, you know, if Jamal Murray does this, the Nuggets can, and he's done it once. And that's why I'm just like if he's your number two, like you're sort of, I don't know that you can.
I'll ask both of you guys, would you take him here in Sacramento? Say they do have the DeMar trade that everybody talks about. You got Jamal, Zach, and Sabonis.
That's a wash to me. It's a wash to me. I don't care.
Know.
It's fine. He's young. He's younger. He's 27. It's a wash, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if Jamal Murray in that situation you just said really moves the needle. Like, it's going to be like, oh, my God, they just made a big deal. It's like, not that he's – I think Jamal – I remember someone was trying to make an argument with me that Jamal Murray was on a Hall of Fame track, and I'm like, what are you smoking? Like, he's in the Hall of good players.
He's in the Al Horford wing.
Yeah, he's in the Al Horford at least made All-Star teams.
Well – true.
Jamal, I mean, you think about the way he's thinking about Jamal's never been an All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's averaged about 18 to 20 for his career. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially in this era, the way teams are scoring, mm-hmm. that's not exactly crazy numbers.
Yeah.
And I think, but he has a lot of big time moments where you say, you would think, oh man, mm-hmm. he's, you know, he has these moments. I think if you erase the L.A. Lakers from his highlight reel, his moments decreased considerably.
Well, they're in the bubble. Like, he had
– Yeah, he had the bubble stretch where – was it him? Yeah. He's one of the guys who came out of the bubble.
And no one counts the bubble, but we all saw it. Like, that's the thing. Like, we all saw it.
The only guy who couldn't duplicate it outside the bubble was T.J. Warren.
Yeah.
TJ Warren was,
Was Jordan.
Michael Jordan in the bubble. He was like, what the hell? And, you know, when Jamal did it after that, it's just that, like I said, he has so many moments. Like, it was him going back and forth with Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Each had 50.
I mean, that was fun to watch. That run in 23 was something else. Mm-hmm. But then again, you get to where it's like, but if he's your second best player, are you really a championship team? Unless everything falls like that run they had, everything fell perfectly. The seeding fell perfectly. You know, they got even how they lost last year was just. I mean, I think if you're talking about, you know, If they had fired Malone after the way they lost last year, I'd have got it. To come on, lose the game seven at home the way they did. I could see it. It's just weird to wait 78 more games. That's
crazy.
Because if you're willing to fire him today, you were willing to fire him a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because given how their season is gone, you can't tell me that something happened in the last week or two because they lost at Golden State the other day. That's the reason. Like, he has to go now.
Hmm. Yeah,
Jay, you gonna get the LeBron Barbie?
What
they announced?
No, I'm cool on that. I'm cool.
It looked fire. It looks just like him. Looks exactly like him.
Yeah, I just don't know what I would do with that. I mean, it just would sit somewhere.
Okay. Just
asking. I mean, I'd rather have. I mean, my collection of bobbleheads. I don't know if I can really stick a Barbie. Is it called a Barbie or called a Ken if it's LeBron, or is it called a LeBron?
Well, Ken, like, look, Ken is a Barbie.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Like, Ken is a Barbie,
Barbie is like Kleenex and Band-Aid.
No, like it's an actual Barbie. Ken, but it's part of the brand. Ken is a Barbie.
Okay, just checking.
Like, Barbie is the name of the signature doll, but like if you look at the package, it'll say Barbie Collection, and it's LeBron James, and he's got his bag on.
I mean,
he's got his bag and his headphones. It looks exactly like LeBron. This looks like a picture. This is crazy.
It looks dead on him too. I was like, I wonder how long they did the whole imaging and
the whole signature scan. That's fire, right? Are you looking at it? That's fire.
It looks so real. I thought it was like a hoax. I'm like, they ain't make no doggone LeBron.
Yeah,
that's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's.
I won't be getting one, but this is pretty.
I'm like, we don't need these distractions right now, LeBron. You need to focus on the playoffs. We don't need no Barbies right now.
Well, it's almost time for what? Dark 023.
Oh yeah, where he pretends to not be on his phone.
He hasn't done that in years, has he?
I don't know. It's all everything's.
Y'all leave LeBron alone, man.
Everything. Hey, let's focus on the positive stuff here. You know, I don't know, but yeah.
You got a Barbie.
Le Barbie.
Wow, Le Barbie.
We appreciate you, Jay. Thank you, brother.
All right, y'all take it easy.
Right, that's our man, Jason Jones, in the New York Times, The Athletic, right there. That Barbie.
What a day. Fire. No, it is fire. What a day, man.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll tap into the Warriors and Suns tonight. See if we can shut this down.
Am I going to Doko tonight if we clinch? Are we meeting the Doko if we clinch?
The bar has been lowered.
Does this go on the Kings' greatest game of the season or the greatest moment?
Hold on.
I'm glad you brought that up. We're skipping that bit, right?
I don't know.
We just want to talk about it on
July 10th. Yeah.
Barbie. Are you kidding? This is the show that spent an hour on pyramids and the JFK assassination.
Well, yeah, we don't have those segments for this summer.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is we could find something. Zabo wants to know, are we fake crying when
put
they
clinch the camera on him again?
Season?
Get the camera on him again. No.
He hasn't worked up the tears yet. Go back and then go back. Okay, no tears yet.
Come on.
It's out of your crying.
Stockton Kings finals tonight. We never found out. Is it a series or one game?
I was just about to ask the same thing. I don't know. Would that make it a final?
Yes.
Instead of a finals?
A final.
It's a final.
The final.
The G League finale. Final.
There you go. Yeah.
I feel like we should know the answer to this.
We'll find out.
It's got to be more than
it's
one
best
game.
Best of three series.
Thank you. I was going to say it has to be more than one game.
The Magic face the Stockton Kings.
Maybe if I
Mason
read
Jones
these.
Jones about to do work.
Maybe if I read these emails that.
My boy Mason Jones about to do work.
Mason Jones going to go. He's a G League legend. He's going to go for 50.
He is. They can't stop that boy.
Brrr.
You know I beat that boy, as Adrian Broner once said.
What?
That's what he said when he lost.
No,
what,
you know I got it. What did he say?
He said, "Man, you know I beat that boy." Lost like every round of that fight. He lost every round.
Adrian Broner's an odd guy.
He lost every round of that fight.
All right.
Oh, man.
All right, man. Do the Kings clinch a postseason spot tonight thanks to R-Dubs in San Francisco? We'll find out. Man, we'll be here. I think so, too. I sure hope so. Phoenix has no business beating the Golden State Warriors tonight, who are coming off a loss. So both teams have had a couple of days off. We'll see what happens. Either way, we will be here to cover it. Terrence Davis back with the Sacramento Kings. We'll talk more about that. It's the Kings and the Nuggets tomorrow. That game got a lot more interesting earlier this morning, and I'm sure it's going to have – oh, correct me if I'm wrong, that's ESPN.
Which
isn't Sacramento and Denver on ESPN?
Yes, it is.
Oh, they're keep that energy. I need Stan Van to cross over networks and talk about the Dallas, the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, man.
We'll see you here tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes!